Well, we have Sanguinarius, who has run sanguinarius.org since the mid to late 90s, about 96, 97, and she's a blood drinker. She actually was rather flummoxed by the idea of psychic vampires. She was,
human blood?
She drinks human blood.
Where does she get it?
From willing donors. Now,
oh, my God.
It is important to understand, we're not talking like pints and pints, usually a tablespoon or two. But still, this is human blood, willingly given by other people. She does not take a straight razor and slash people. Actually, she has a rather medical way. She doesn't even physically make contact with the person who is giving blood to her. But she is a blood drinker. She only knows that there is just this need to drink blood. Her health seems to decline if she does not drink the blood. And it is just something that she has done for years and years. And she explains some of her experiences with that. Obviously, when blood is involved, now that we live in the AIDS pandemic, that is something that's risky. Understandably, many people who are blood drinkers who are involved in the vampire community do not talk about it. And a lot of people are certainly not comfortable hearing them talk about it because of just the risk involved in blood exchanges. Blood drinkers are very hung up, rightfully so, on making certain that the exchange they are engaged in is safe. Everybody's tested. Everybody presents papers. A number of people who I know who are blood drinkers have made a point of they are actually phlebotomists. They are actually hematologists. They actually are registered nurses who take blood. One of them finds it deeply amusing that her profession is technically a vampire. She sticks people and takes their blood all day and occasionally also sticks people and takes their blood willingly in her private associations.
You don't think that any of these phlebotomous vampires steal blood from people who go in to get tested?
I think that there are certainly going to be rumors to that effect, but most of them are highly ethical. One of the things working in the vampire community that I've really noticed is most of them are inherently good people. They're very polite people. They're very honorable people. And they are really disinclined to try to prey upon others.
Well, you say most of them. That means some of them are not.
There are always bad apples in a bunch. One of the reasons that we formed a community was to have certain standards of behavior, to encourage things, to police our own, because especially when you're talking blood drinking, that's dangerous. Psychic vampires, in many ways, are no less dangerous because they can be so emotionally and psychologically devastating to people if they are uncontrolled, if they are unethical, and are taking from people without their permission. And so we have this community partly to police ourselves, to encourage ethical behavior. But you cannot force people to behave. You cannot send, you know, the vampire Justicars down to their house and say, hey, we caught you feeding on somebody at a club the other night without their permission and slap them on the hand. You just can't do that. And so there are people who break the rules. There are people who don't participate in the community at all expressly so they don't have to follow rules.
Will they kill a rat and drain its blood or a chicken or anything like that?
As a general rule, human blood seems to be what does it.
As a general rule,
a general rule, there are Lady CG, who I did not get a hold of in time to include her in the anthology, is a Canadian vampire, and she has a couple of techniques that involve really rare steak that I'm not sure how this works, since my understanding of vampirism has everything to do with human vitality. But, of course, as a psychic vampire, I'm biased. But she seems to recommend, like, really rare steak. It's kind of a way to get you by if you don't have a willing human donor. But human blood is considered what they really need. CG and a few other blood drinkers actually have a theory that there's a hormone that they're lacking or some sort of chemical that occurs in the blood. Obviously, there's no scientific proof, and they're actually eager to try to get enough credibility among the scientific community to have people actually test this, because if they could just take a pill, if they could just take a supplement and not have to do this, many of them probably would.
A hemoglobin pill or something.
Yeah, something that, and it, there are at least, you know, rumors, probably myths, like connected to, there's a disease called porphyria, which is extremely rare, and there's nobody in the vampire community that I'm aware of who actually suffers from it. But Dr. Dolphin, I believe in the 70s, there's a fellow who was advocating the notion that porphyria and a misunderstanding of this disease had inspired vampire myths. And it does have to do with the hemoglobin in the blood. And in this particular and possibly just anecdotal story, a couple of people had been driven to drink blood in an attempt to combat the anemia and the other problems with the disease. Oddly, people who suffer from porphyria are also very sensitive to the sun. What the connection with that might be, I don't know, but it certainly made for good comparison to at least the classic vampire.
Has anybody who has drank the blood, have they ever gotten really sick?
Human digestion is not meant to drink, to really like handle more than a pint of blood. And I have personally not seen anyone drink more than a little few drops to a tablespoon. Most of the blood drinkers that I'm aware of maintain that they can drink more and that they will not get sick. And that in and of itself, if physically they do not react to blood as an ordinary person's digestion reacts to blood, that by itself indicates or could indicate that there's actually a need. However, I have not personally witnessed it.
Have you ever had a teaspoon?
I am not a blood drinker. I had too many years in the hospital. I'm really kind of needle phobic. Not my thing.